Welcome in to another episode of We're Talking. Tonight we're talking football, Raging Cajun football, with Dave Amato. Dave, Northwestern State coming in this weekend. But before we get to that, it's been a long time. I know we've talked, don't get me wrong, but we haven't recorded. And I was trying to think back, and I didn't get a chance to go look. But did we do one for the bowl game?
I think we, yeah, I'm positive we did one for the bowl game. We haven't spoken, but I think that was the last thing we did was we did the pre-game or to the Houston game. And then that was the last time we spoke on air. And I know you and I have spoke since then, but not on air.
Yeah, I had surgery not too long or right 2 days before the bowl game. So I didn't make it to the bowl game and I couldn't remember what I did right before then. So, but I was pretty sure we had, and I should have went back, but that's
yeah,
okay.
I didn't make it either. And I know it was freezing cold, but
we couldn't have been happier with that either.
Right. We were on vacation. We were actually driving and I was in the back seat of the car with my Wi-Fi on, watching it on my laptop while my wife drove me. I felt like driving Miss Daisy.
Oh my goodness. Well, I can tell you, I was so happy that it was cold. I was so happy that people were miserable. All these people that say, I don't want to go to New Orleans anymore. Yeah. Well, you know something? New Orleans is inside. Shut up.
Yeah, it was, it looked very cold. And I spoke to a handful of people who went and said it was pretty miserable.
The pipes froze up. My understanding was everything was portalettes and the elevators weren't working. So,
let's not go
into last year. That was a disappointing end.
I agree with you.
Looking ahead, Northwestern State this weekend, not too far up the road, 2 hours ish in Natchitoches. Place where Jim Croce died in his plane crash, hit a pecan tree at the end of the runway. His last concert was right there at Northwestern State.
I did not know that.
Yes. A little more trivia then. Jim was actually scheduled to perform there months earlier, but got sick. And by the time he was able to reschedule them, he was a star and had some hits. I don't know. I don't think he had a number one. He might have had a number one, but actually was charging more for concerts, but agreed to do the concert at the rate he originally booked at. So good man by all accounts, and love his music. So
yeah, me too. Me too. I'm with you on that.
Have to get Dan McDonald on. Dan actually wrote an article for the student newspaper there that was picked up by Rolling Stone magazine. Dan and I have talked about it. Dan said the article that he wrote, though, looks nothing like that came out of Rolling Stone. And I don't think he even got credited for the article in Rolling Stone. So, for you music lovers out there, there's your trivia for tonight. And I'll try to have Dan on to talk more about Jim Croce and his music.
That'd be interesting. Look, one other little tidbit about Natchitoches. I went there over Christmas to do the whole lights thing. And I'll tell you this, my wife allowed me to take part of that day to go to the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame. And if you have not been to it, you really should. There's a lot of UL guys in there that you'll see. There's a wonderful section dedicated to Coach Robe, but it's a neat place to go. And it's not super expensive. But if you get a chance to go to Natchitoches or go to Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame, it's well worth it.
I will take up on that at some point. All right, so Northwestern, 4-7 last year. Coach is going into his fifth year. I'm not seeing it, I guess. I mean, there's nothing there. It's 16-35 previous history that tells me this team's going to turn around.
I completely agree with you. This team has not been good for a long time. I think in 08, they were 7-5, and that was long before he was there. I think his best record was, close to .500 or at .500. They just have not been good for a long time. I think COVID saved him, to be honest with you. I think he would have already been gone. But with the COVID, you know, everything slowed down and he got a chance to hang around. I also think they like him a lot. He's a guy who's been at Northwestern for a long time, both as an assistant and moved his way up. He left and he came back. I think they want to give him every opportunity to work it out there. But I think, to be honest with you, and we'll delve into this a little bit further as we go down the list, but I think this is the year. It's a make or break for Northwestern. And unfortunately, the Southland's top heavy. And I just don't see where he's going to be able to make any hay this year that'll save his job. I think this might be it for him.
I agree with you. And on all accounts, I think you're right with the COVID situation and everything. Also, one other little bit of trivia, Northwestern State. My first football camp back in 1978 was at Northwestern State. They had the old AstroTurf field and everything. And of course, you know, when you're your first time on something like that, you run and you're trying to slide and everything. Miserable brush burns on your legs. So,
oh yeah,
don't recommend it. So, but they have the hump in the middle of the field was very interesting too. Standing on one sideline, looking across at the other sideline, you couldn't see the other person's foot.
So, really? I did not know that.
Yeah, it had a pretty good hump there to
pump in the
drain the water. So,
yeah.
But let's go in. Let's start out with the quarterback. What do we look like there?
Yeah, so the quarterback's an interesting spot for them. They had a good one last year. A guy named by the name of Zachary Clement. He was a really successful quarterback for them, but he decided to leave and transfer to SLU. So he'll be facing Northwestern probably as the starter at SLU. But Coach Laird went out and he reached out and got three different transfers who have some experience. But I think at the end of the day, Tyler Vanderwall will be their guy. He's a pro-style quarterback. He's 6'4", 220, big, big kid. He started his career at Wyoming where he started 9 games. And then he transferred to Idaho State, where he played 2 years there and was Big Sky Newcomer of the Year. So he's got a chance to be a really good quarterback. He's not going to dazzle you with his legs, but he's a good, strong-arm quarterback.
I'm looking at their quarterback list, and from the notes you sent me, 6'5", 220, 6'4", 220, 6'3", 215. How do they get these? I mean, I know this is kind of a rhetorical question because yeah. I know you don't call the coach and ask him, hey, how are you getting these guys down, you know, to Natchitoches, yeah. Louisiana, of all places?
Yeah.
It's.
Well, three of those guys are transfers, right? So, you know, the backup isn't a big kid. It's a guy who transferred from Grambling. Another guy came from VMI and went to Jacksonville State. He's a 6'3 kid. The freshman is the interesting one, JT Fayard. They like him a lot. He's going to be the future there because the three guys I mentioned before are all seniors, I believe, graduate transfers. JT Fayard will be the future of that program. He's 6'5", 220, and played at a school that most people are familiar with in Katy, Texas, where they develop quarterbacks like – it's unbelievable how good their quarterbacks are out of that program. So I think he's the future of the program, to be honest with you.
Well, one good year is, you know, in college football now, he's probably off somewhere else.
I mean, it's a good possibility.
6'5", 220, he's definitely got the frame. And you know, if he does anything in college, they're going to beef him up. They're going to do those type, get him on a weight system and dietary. And sad to say, he's probably being groomed to go somewhere else. So
yeah, the good news for him, or for them, I should say, is that, you know, unless there's major injuries, he probably won't play this year, but he'll be able to redshirt. He might get his 4 games in redshirt. But the reality is he's at least got 1 year where they can hide him. The question is the following year will be, you know, what do they do with him? Because if he does, you're right. If he has a successful year, he could be gone from that team. And it, look, this is a team, just to touch on it, you know, and we'll get deep into it, but they weren't good at a lot of things, but this team could throw the ball well last year.
Okay. Kenneth Lacy is their leading rusher that returns, but at 5'9", 185, why should we be scared? I mean, and then you got the next guy, Scooter Adams, at 5'9", 180. Are we supposed to be scared of either one of these guys?
I wouldn't be. I think both, neither one of them were really big stars last year. Lacy only had 414 yards, three touchdowns. Adams had 244, and they were two of their three leading rushers. Their other leading rusher was the quarterback, who's gone. I don't think that's where we've got to worry about it. I think it's the other guy that's coming in. This team is loaded. And again, I touched on it when we first started talking, that I think this is Laird's last year unless something happens. So he went to the transfer portal big time. I think minimum 50% of his two deep is going to be guys who transferred in from somewhere else. And a bunch of these guys were FBS guys. The running back guy, I think, that's going to take the majority of the snaps is Darius Boone, who's transferred in from Eastern Michigan. He's a guy that we saw last year, but he only carried the ball one time against us. But he ended up being a pretty good player for EMU over the course of the last 3 years. So I think the reality is he's going to be the physical guy because he's 5'11", 200. He's a much bigger kid.
If you say so, 2 inches, I guess, can mean a lot, but especially in horseshoes and other things. But I'll trust you on that one. I'm messing with you. But let's go on to the wide receiver position, because – with the big quarterbacks, it looks like these guys are hoping to throw the ball a little bit more and everything. So what do you see there?
Yeah, that's where on the offense, that's where a lot of their talent is, to be honest with you. Zach Peterson is the leader. He returns. Not a big kid, 5'11", but he had 83 catches last year, 710 yards, five touchdowns. Really a guy who put up some really big numbers. Their second leading guy is Javon Antonio, who had 64 catches and six touchdowns. So they've got a couple of guys coming back. I'm sorry, they lose Javon. That was my mistake. They lose Javon Antonio. But their third leading guy, another small guy, 5'10", 170, who had 23 catches, comes back. They're deep there where they got a lot of returning guys who put up some pretty good numbers. But they, you know, for the most part, the guy that they're going to go to is that Zach Peterson, Patterson guy.
Okay.
Now, that before we kind of go off of that, there is an interesting guy. They've got a 6'7 tight end who had 20 catches last year, and he's a big physical kid that's hard to guard with, you know, a smaller linebacker or even tight end or defensive back. So that could be an interesting matchup problem for people. And then they went out and they have a ton of new guys from the transfer portal that we can touch on if you want to.
Yeah. And I know Micah Juergen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that Southern Miss that he came from?
He came from Southern Miss. Yeah. Another kid from Duke, Dennis Smith, another kid from Central Arkansas, and another one from FAU. And then a couple of other guys, but yeah, there are a lot of transfer kids coming into that program.
Interesting, and I'm this is just an observation, but you can see the Kobe Bryant effect here with kids being named Kobe that are coming in to yep. the world now. So
you're right.
But no, good for them. What about the old line there? What kind of size we got there? Is there as far as is there some experience with them?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a mix. They got to replace a lot from a not a very good offensive line from last year. The main guy on the line will be DeAndre Richard, 6'3", 300-pound guy, played 9 games last year. They get a transfer in from Central Michigan, Cameron Vaughn, 6'6", 300. But there's a ton of turnover from last year. So I've really, you know, It's really hard to do this preview because there's not a lot of write-ups on FCS teams. And because this team is such a big transfer portal team, you really got a bunch of guys. They are excited about one kid, Quentin Ross, who's a junior college transfer from Garden City Community College, that played a lot. So I think he's the new guy that comes in. But again, this was a not very good offensive line last year, so they're going to do a lot of revamping this year.
Well, you'd have to believe it's not a very good offensive line just by the record over the last couple of years. But
yeah,
it looks like some decent size coming in. I don't know how that will play out against our defensive line, though, will be the interesting part. So,
yeah. Well, look, I think that's where they're, you know, I think the Cajuns have advantages all over the field. Yeah. To be honest with you, but I think that's a big position where the Cajuns have a big advantage. This is, again, a weak offensive line coming back. They're going to be a little bit of a mixture of new guys and old guys. I think the strength of the Cajun defense is going to be that front four, and I think that's where we've got an opportunity to really make some hay.
Dave, the defensive line, let's flip the script now to the defensive side and start out with the defensive line. Size there, what's their tradition as far as scheme? What do we know about them?
Yeah, they, you know, Coach Desermo talked about this in one of his press conferences recently, and he'll tell you, this is a team that, you know, they started playing a 3-4, they switched to a 4-3. They don't really know their identity on defense. It's hard to really scheme for them because you didn't know from week to week what they were going to do defensively. And they were trying to figure themselves out. They do have a pretty good nose tackle, but he is way undersized. And if this is correct, and I looked on multiple sites for this, he's 6 foot at nose tackle, 6 foot 265. Usually those guys are, you know, 300 plus. But he was a pretty good one. He had 31 tackles and 2 tackles for loss. So he's a guy who can get in the backfield and cause some problems, but he's more athletic than physical. And then they went to the portal quite a bit as well. They got a guy from SMU. They got a guy from New Mexico State, guy from ULM, a guy from Western Kentucky. And they're all over the board with their defensive line. And just like their offensive line, a lot of changes.
You know, the 6 foot 265, yes, undersized, but he probably weighed more. He's probably about closer to 330. The young man from Coastal Carolina.
Right. You had to say that. I can't remember his name. I know exactly who you're talking about.
But then you look at the guys here at 6'4", 225. I mean, that sounds like a wide receiver or a tight end. It's not a defensive lineman.
No, they're undersized. I mean, these are portal guys that they got from bigger name schools, but there was a reason why they were portaled out because they weren't physically able to play at that higher level. And I think, you know, this defense, again, it's going to be very revamped. It's going to be a lot of different guys. Now, that ULM kid is 6'1", 280. And a kid from Akron is 6'3", 300. So they've got a little size there, but you're right. Some of these guys I have listed here, 6'4", 225, 6'2", 242, 6'2", 255. They don't sound like defensive linemen to me.
And let's go back to you talking about the scheme there. You'd think that their head coach was a defensive coordinator twice there.
He was.
And he would stick to a program, and that wouldn't be where they would struggle at.
Yeah, I like I said, Coach Desermo mentioned it in the press conference that, you know, they watched film on these guys, and you can't tell from week to week. You didn't know what they were going to do. They were switching guys in and out. So, and again, you had a whole offseason, so Lord knows what they're going to start with, and I'm sure they'll try to mix it up a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I guess if you're losing, you got nothing to lose.
That's exactly right.
All right, let's go to the linebacker core. What do we have there? What type of – well, we've talked about it several times already, not knowing the scheme they're playing, 4-3, 3-4.
Yeah. Well, I do think the strength of the defense is that linebacker group. I think, you know, they get a guy who comes back from last year. Actually, he's a transfer, Justin Galloway Velasquez. He was an All-American at Campbell, and he comes in and plays for him. So he's going to be a really good one. He's actually the one they sent to the Southland Media Day. And then they get their leading tackler from last year back, Jared Pedroza. He's 6'1", 225. If he was 125, that would be a problem.
Yeah.
6'1", 225, who was a tackling machine. He had 70 tackles last year and 11 tackles for loss. So he's a pretty good one. And then Jordan Banks is another good one who started his career at Arizona State. So I think at linebacker, that's probably the strength of this defense. Because we know that, like, as we mentioned, the defensive line is going to be a little off. You don't know who's coming in. A lot of transfer guys. Defensive back had a lot of changes. So I think that linebacker position is going to be the strength of the defense.
Well, you brought up the defensive backs, and that's where we're going to go now. But at the same time, you know, to me, that's a position that someone can make a name at a smaller school and use it to step up. So it's one of those things that you got to watch out for, but you can't play scared in doing that. You've got to be able to take a kid in and hope you can convince him to stay. So what are you looking at the defensive back side?
Yeah. And Coach Dez talked about this too. I think they have to replace three of the four guys back there. The one that they do get back is a pretty good one. Kevin J. Davis Jr. He was an second team all conference guy at safety, but they lose their best cover corner from last year, William Hooper. So a lot of what they've got coming in, they lost both of their safeties. A lot of what they're coming in, they're going with young kids that they brought in or transfers. So we don't, I could not find anything to tell you what exactly is their defensive backfield is going to look like, except I do know that Kevin Davis will be there as one of the backfield guys. The rest of them will be all new guys.
Well, it sounds like a very good opportunity for the Cajuns there to throw the ball downfield and try to get these, the Cajun wide receivers into the game early and often, and hopefully early and often for the season as well, to give them some confidence moving forward.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And to touch on something you bring up a lot, I will tell you that they're number two, number three, and number four tacklers on this team. And most of those guys are gone. Were all defensive backs last year. That's a problem for a team when your defensive backs are your second, third, fourth leading tacklers on the team. That means that you're giving up big yards.
Too many yards, exactly. You never want to see that unless it's tackles for a loss on
you're
a
right,
blitz.
Right.
So, moving on, we'll call it the X factor, the possibility of an X factor. Special teams, what happens when the Cajun defense holds this team and then they have to, first of all, try to kick a field goal?
Well, I don't know. And that's a well,
I'm glad we're going to you for all the answers. Now our guy on the field.
Well, let me preface that with, this is a football team, and I am not kidding when I tell you this. They kicked five total field goals all last year. They only made three of them, but they only attempted five field goals in the entire 11-game season that they played.
Did you happen to notice their fourth down conversion rate or anything like that?
You know, I should have looked at that, but I didn't.
You should have. I'm paying you good money to look at those things.
I can do it while we're on the air here.
No, that's okay. But
five total field goals. Now, the good news for him is that kicker is gone. They do bring in a transfer from New Mexico State. And I heard a press conference with Coach Laird. He is very high on a guy by the name of Brett Money, who's 5'9", 180, transfer from New Mexico State. He didn't kick a lot at New Mexico State. He did kick extra points, and he was perfect on his extra points. But during the spring practices, he was very good. So they think he's going to be the main guy kicking field goals. And I got to believe he's going to kick more than five this year.
Absolutely. Sorry. I got sidetracked there. And it was the reason I didn't want you to switch over also. But I'm still puzzled by this five field goal thing. I'll have to look that up.
Yeah. As far as punter goes, they return Scott Roblo as their punter. But he wasn't great. He had a 39, almost a 40 yard average. He had a long of 71. That could have been one with a roll. And 10 of his kicks were inside the 20. He's, you know, nothing spectacular there, but he does return from last year. So he's a little experienced there at the punting position.
Yeah, if your average is 40 and you have one that's 71, that's not saying a whole lot.
Right.
Well, let's go ahead and flip the script there again one more time and go to the return guys.
Yeah, they didn't have much back there that was good. They didn't really have anybody who scared you or did much, but P.J. Harrington is gone. He was their main punt returner. They returned both of their kickoff guys, but one averaged 18 yards and one averaged 16 yards on kickoffs. So, you know, and good. I know it's FCS and they probably aren't kicking them to the goal line, but if you're kicking them to the five, that means the best you're doing is out to the 20, 25 yard line at best. They really didn't have a whole lot of excitement in the return game for them. And again, we got to replace their punt returner who really did put up great numbers, but they'll still have to replace him. So a lot of unknowns there as well.
Yeah, I think that's I won't say it's one of the harder things to replace, but it can be for the fact that that ball is coming down different than it would if you're catching the ball as a receiver or a running back coming out of the backfield. So that can be a challenge at times, even for the best of them, especially when you have a rugby style punter.
Right. And look, I'm sure if anyone's doing a UL preview, that's one of the things we've got to replace as well, right? We had a phenomenal kid returning punts in Eric Garrar, and congratulations to Eric, who apparently signed today with Tennessee as a on the practice squad, and then Chris Smith on kickoff. So we had two dangerous guys. Like, you know, that's going to be hard to replace. And I know Coach is excited about the guys who are going to be back there, but that's not going to be Eric back there returning kicks.
Exactly.
So, and by the way, before we move on, I do want to look. I am, you have me interested in this fourth down conversion. So they were 17 of 35 on fourth down conversions, almost 50%, and a decent amount of them. So they went for it quite a bit. They got it about half of the time.
17 of 35 or 25?
17 of 35.
Okay.
So right at 48.57%.
So in comparison, the Cajuns were 17 of 33.
Okay. So very similar in there, but we kicked a lot more field goals.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I'm going, excuse me.
So I'll tell you, there was another piece of it. We didn't talk about it. This team turned the ball over a ton last year. And I don't know, obviously a lot of changes there, but they lost 9 fumbles. They fumbled the ball 17 times. They lost 9 of them. They also threw 18 interceptions last year. They only intercepted 7, and they only recovered, I think, and I'll have to double check this, 4. So they only turned the ball over for their opponents 11 times, but they gave up 27 turnovers last year. So they turn the ball over. They don't kick a lot of field goals. There's just not a lot to love about last year's team. And I know it's going to be a completely different team, but there's a lot that you're concerned with if you're Coach Laird on this team.
Oh, well.
Hence the reason he used the portal so much.
Yeah. I think this, like I said, this is all around, I think, a good game for the Cajuns to start the season with. Give the players some opportunity to get some confidence before hitting the road the next two weekends. So any last thoughts before we sign off?
Yeah, no, just, I mean, look, I just to touch on a couple of things, you know, I said they won four games. They did win four games. Three of those wins were against teams that were putrid. Houston Baptist, Lamar, and Texas A&M Commerce were terrible. They did have a surprising win against a decent Nichols team. That was probably their best game that they played. The rest of them weren't even close, to be honest with you. Most of them they lost just in horrible fashion. So I don't think there's much of a fear that this team will scare us. But you know what? They do have athletes, and they're going to go out there and play their hardest. So it'll be we're going to have to show that we're a good football team and go beat them like we're supposed to.
Absolutely. Dave, we missed you the other night for our little rage and paging get together. So,
I don't know how much you actually missed me, because you would have just been making fun of my gay little fruity beers.
Well, that's true, but that's why I missed you. I missed being able to make fun of you.
And I know most of the people who listen to this realize that when we talk about this, I drink very high octane beers. But of course they're not to your liking. So,
well, that's because they taste like crap.
Hey, by the way,
some of them I have tasted and they're okay.
Okay. I wanted to bring this up to you, nothing to do with football, but I saw this online today. Dustin Poirier will be signing. I guess he's got a bourbon out or a whiskey out of some sort. But he will be signing them on September. I got to get the date right. I want to say September 8th or 9th or 10th at Marcello's, if anybody's interested in going. It's a Saturday, and it's during the day. I think it's September 9th. That would be September 9th then. September 9th on Saturday, I think it's 10 to 12, he'll be signing bottles of his whiskey at Marcello's.
All right.
So thank you. Just a little plug for local Mr. Dustin Poirier.
Well, I will be that time. I will be in Norfolk, Virginia.
Yeah, say it right.
So
make sure you pronounce that right.
So, but I won't be pronouncing it. We're going to ODU, Old Dominion.
So, this has been good. I'm glad we had a chance to get back and get this one in before the game. I am sure we will go much further in depth as the season gets along and we know a little bit more about the teams we're going to face.
Yep. Next week, we'll give you our predictions on the Cajun season, and along with some looks at the Sun Belt Conference. And hopefully next week, we'll be back with Danny Reed as well, giving us our Sun Belt Conference updates. Dave, thank you so much again for your time. Sorry that we both kind of whizzed on Sunday night, not realizing that we were supposed to record Sunday night.
That's all right. I think I might have had just a couple too many adult beverages on Sunday.
I forgot what I was doing, but I realized it at about 10:30. You originally had said 9 sounds good.
Yeah.
But I never set anything up, so I can't blame you.
I texted you, I think, early or sometime Monday, and I was like, I think we were supposed to do a podcast. So, hey, last thing real quick. And again, I'm preaching to the choir and the fans that are listening. But if you get a chance, get out there, go to Cajun Field. The game's been pushed back to 7:30. The weather should be nice. There's no excuses not to be out there. We need to bring a big crowd and support the Cajuns.
For sure. Go out and support the Cajuns. It's good for you. It's good for your community. And it helps everyone around here. Quite honestly, the housing market, the high schools, just everything. It's good for you. So you've been listening to We're Talking. We've been talking football. We've been previewing the Cajuns hosting Northwestern State this Saturday at Cajun Field. Kickoff set for 7:30. Come out and catch us.
Any redistribution or reproduction of any part or all of the contents in any form is prohibited, except, who the hell are we kidding? Distribute it, share it, put it in your podcast, broadcast it, or put it on social media. Just give credit where credit's due.